The Bible study we are working on is false prophets. False prophets. And like I said, the reason why we're touching upon this is my part of, big part of my job as a pastor is to protect you from them. As we heard in the question and answer part of this, the prosperity ministries, the right now we got a ton of false ministries out there. A ton of false ministries. Unfortunately, we buy into it. And there's a verse that will even show what he says we do with it. He'll show how it becomes and is our fault, if that makes sense. Okay. And what we've noticed so far up to this point, up to the point where we last left off, is first of all, I showed you it was my job, the importance of a shepherd. Please understand, this is why job titles are so important. You know, it's like me hiring a bus driver, and then when he comes to take a job, he goes, "You do know I can't drive." Now, it sounds crazy, but his job was to drive the bus, and he's telling me I can't drive. We laugh, but there's a lot of us that get shepherds or follow shepherds or even want to be shepherds, and he gives us full descriptions of shepherds, and none of that exists, and we'll either follow or be that. We'll be something that we're not. Do y'all get this? Because part of the job is the protection, but if I'm not made to do what I'm supposed to, then you're in trouble. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? Okay, so if a door is made to keep somebody out, but my door is made out of paper, and that's what ends up happening. We get the wrong thing. We see that false prophets are a major part of Satan's attack force, and we see how God consistently warned us about the false prophets and what they're doing to us. So where I last left off, and let me know if I'm wrong. I have witnesses. What they say are worthless but dangerous. Is that right? So it's right after. Okay, so some of them believe their own hype. Some of them, that's in Ezekiel 13, 1 to 7. Some of them believe their own hype. We see that in Ezekiel 13, 1 to 7. This is, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying, saying to those who prophesy out of their own imagination. So in other words, their prophecies are coming from them. I mean, you're wild, but where'd you get that from? They'll blame it on God. And God's going, I never said that to them. And this is why we got to test, because there's a lot of these people that call themselves prophets, man. They say these fantastical things, and we follow them, and it's dangerous. And he says, watch this now. He says, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirits and have nothing and have seen nothing. Just him saying woe is devastating. Remember, if you're on the other end of a woe, devastating. Okay? We watered that word down so much, we don't realize how devastating. You want to remember the woes. That's one of the major plagues or punishments in tribulation. But anytime he says woe, I think it's in Matthew 23 where he goes over the woes also. Woes, you don't want to be under. He's saying to this group right now, woe to these false prophets. Okay? Who have really seen nothing and given this false stuff. He says, your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins. Do you understand? They're worthless. You know, they're just running around. There's nothing they can do. And he goes to verse 5. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Basically, you're not doing things that you're supposed to rebuild and help the church. You're making matters worse. You know what I mean? Instead of taking the ruin and trying to repair it and build it up, you're just making matters worse. And he goes into verse 6. Their visions are false and their divinations a lie. They say the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them. Watch this. Yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Some of, like I said, they believe. There's a lot of them who truly believe. But I believe this is what God said. This is what's so dangerous about it. Now, when I live in fear, I'm going to be 100% sure God said it. When I live wrong or corrupt or not living in the right way, I'll start believing, yeah, that must be God. You'll hear people that'll make everything a sign. You'll make everything, every time they see something, it's a sign, or everything is this. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying, but we'll read into everything and we'll overdo it to the point where it's almost like conspiracy people. They think everything is a conspiracy, you know what I mean? And to where you miss out when it really is a conspiracy, because they'll call everything. I mean, if it rains because it's snowing outside, they'll say somebody did this to us. I think somebody's trying to kill us with snow. You know what I mean? And it'll make it up. And let's say, even if it's happening, we can't tell the difference now because we call everything that. And in the same way, if I'm not living in the fear, Because the Bible tells me how to deal and talk to the Lord and listen to God. However, if I go off of my feelings and emotions, what people say, I'm going to be tossed back and forth, and I'll believe me. Yes.
So these are people who think they have a vision or God spoke to them. It's not, you know how you say you're supposed to go back and check in the Word and
yep.
make sure it's from God.
Yep.
So these are people that think God actually said something
yep.
to them.
They're convinced. But not based. They're not convinced using God as their vision. They're convinced based on their gut, their own feeling. It's going to be fleshly convinced because of how strong they feel about it. Do you get where I'm coming from? I'm sure because I feel is what you'll hear them say. Not I'm sure because the Word says.
So how are they getting away from that they're just going to their emotion because there's no more connection between them and God?
But it's not that there's no more. They're not using the connection between them and God. Because remember, all of us always, you always have a fleshly connection and you always have a spiritual connection. You have a choice. Now, which one are you using? Some of us feel strong about something. Some of us faith strong about something. Now, I say faith strong. I'm in God's word. I'm following his word completely. I'm studying his word. I'm praying to him. Everything is to him and it's based on him and it's fully on him and it has to come from him. Even though I may feel strong about it until I know it's directly from him, I'm not budging. Almost like Gideon. I'm going to ask a couple, make sure it's from you, and this is from you. Got where I'm coming from? I'm going to make it from you, God. Not discounting God. You're not taking his word and saying, God, I don't trust your word. Give me something else. No, I'm talking about I'm in his word, studying it, growing in it, talking about it, because I want to make sure his word is clearly telling me how this works. Now, when I'm going off of people hyping me up, a deep feeling I have, I feel strong about it, I think I'm getting other signs in the sky and all this other, you see what I'm doing? I'm adding other things to build me up, then I'll puff up in me. And that's what happens with a lot of people who give false prophecies. Problem is, they're on dangerous ground. You understand that? Fear would make me go, I feel strong about this, but until God says otherwise, I'm not saying anything. Do y'all get this? I've seen through my life, and I'm sure you have, how many times have you met and known people, and we might have even done it ourselves, in our life, have you ever felt strong about something? You were sure, and it didn't happen. I can assure you this, I'm sure that happened more than not. Do you understand? However, we'll give a testimony when it does happen. I'll hear more people give a testimony of, man, I did this and it happened. Amen. Praise God. That's their testimony. And then I want to go sometimes. So tell me about the other 20 times it didn't happen. Do you understand that? Reason being, remember he says time and chance happens to them all. Remember Ecclesiastes, time and chance happens. He says things are going to happen, things are not going to happen. Our relationship with God is fully 100% based on faith. He says my worshipers are going to be those who worship me in spirit and in truth. We worship him in emotion, in signs and wonders, and let me see what other people are doing. How come it's happening to them, not to me? Do y'all get what I'm going with this? Think of all the stuff that people usually engage in. It's not of God. But the more we engage in faith, the more we hear from him. In fact, the most he talks to us is through his word. Do y'all get this? Everybody understand that? Okay? So that's the key. The key is going to be, it's going to be a connection with him. You're going to be sure because of the word, period. Not sure because I've seen this sign and I've seen this and I've seen the signs and stuff would happen later and that's even smaller, but it's always going to be smaller because we have full access to the word. Hebrews 1 tells us, he said back in the day, they used to talk to their people through prophets and through other means. He says, but today they talk to us through the Son of God. Jesus says, I am the Word. Remember, he says, I'm the way, truth, right. And it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know this Word is God. So you want to talk to Jesus? Read your Word. Not just read it, study it. That's him communicating to you. And not only is he communicating to you, he's not just doing it because you happen to read it and said, I enjoyed the book. Just like he said, the Bible goes together as a collective. Remember, he said to the devil, when the devil said it is written, he said, yes, but it is also written. You know what I mean? So I got to study the Bible. And this is why we got to commune. That's why faith comes from hearing the word. That's where it's our job to teach the word. So you receive the word and you're hearing, okay, this is what Jesus is saying. But make sure I don't come up here. And Jesus also said, wait, Pastor, where's that at? Do y'all get this? All right. Because I can tell y'all something. Y'all be like, wow. Got to be careful. I'm not saying to discount it. Just be careful with it. Prophets and prophecies still exist. Today, just many of them, majority of them are false. Okay, and unfortunately, majority of them, like it says, yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. And not only will they be disappointed. You'll be disappointed. People will lose lives, money, and stuff like that. And God's like, I had absolutely nothing to do with it. They never checked with me. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Over. I remember there was a minister one time, and he had a bunch of people that followed him on his prophecy he had about the church. And people started giving money. And he was like, this thing is going to happen, whatever this thing was. And the reason why I knew he, because most ones that are phony and they know it, will make a prophecy that may happen and you just don't know it. You got where I'm coming from? They'll say it happened and they can tell you it happened. And you're like, oh, did it? Okay. They'll tell you somebody was healed of something that's internal that you'll never know. Because you can't read x-rays and you don't know if it went away. So they'll tell you something. So it may have happened, it may not have, you don't know. But the one he made on this person was supposed to die, and he said, no, this person's going to live. And he's like, we're going to show the world. And he displayed it. And he was very open about it. And they put money in. And he's not May. I'm sure of it. Person died. Now, it turned a lot of people away from God. And you can see he was distraught. Problem was, we know it didn't come from God then. Do you understand that? But the problem, there was a younger person in there that said, not once did we really pray about it. Not once did we check the word on it. Not, you know what I mean? And they were saying this as an after fact. They were like, we kept listening to this man give us this definite. You understand it? And the rest of us should have prayed about it and said, okay, well, I mean, if that's what you got from God, but we're going to pray about it to make sure, you know, God give us the same thing if that's what you want us to hear. But your word says, so we know you can. And do y'all get this? All right? And this is what you got to be very careful, because even the ones that are telling it really believe it in themselves. And that's why he says in verse 7, have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? And this is common. Very, very common. Some of them are doing it to deceive. They fully know it. Some of them do it so much, or because we're doing it in the wrong way, we become deceived. But it's still my fault. Does that make sense? Okay. One of the things that leads us and destroys sound doctrine is emotion. If I let emotion interrupt or get into my relationship with God, I'll do this. Because I feel strong about stuff. That's a very dangerous place to be. Please understand that, okay? Please get that. Because your feelings are not supposed to dictate me, I'm supposed to dictate them. Make sense? Alright? If not, you'll feel strong about something and you'll blame it on God. God's going, I said nothing to them. And because they felt strong about it. Okay, keep that in mind. Very, very, very important. And also, they dangerously, so first of all, they believe their own hype, and then they dangerously mislead many. Zechariah 10, 1 to 2. Zechariah 10, 1 to 2 says, ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It is the Lord who makes the storm clouds. He gives showers of rain to men and plants of the field to everyone. The idols speak deceit because they don't speak. We already noticed. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. They give comfort, watch this, in vain. Now, catch that for a minute. They give comfort. So a lot of them will say stuff and you'll just feel, ah. Now, there was a case where, once again, it was another, we had to go visit somebody in a hospital. And I went and another minister went. The other minister, what he said was, he said, God came and he told me, and the thing he said basically is going to be this miraculous healing, this and this was going to happen. I didn't get that vision, so I couldn't say that. I said, we're going to pray for the family's comfort and this and that, and for God's healing and for his will to be done. The other guys feel, nope, we're going to speak it because I know it and it's coming, and he's speaking, and they felt comfort from what he said until it didn't happen. Do y'all get this? Now, if I heard it clearly from God, then praise God. Do you understand it? Now, where does that do? Because, once again, since it didn't happen, we know it didn't come from God. And that's the problem. But at the time, they got this comfort. And if you get comfort in vain, it's almost like drugs. Drugs is like a gratification in vain. Because once you come down off of it, you are not only you disappointed, that's why you crave for it. I got to get back to where I was because I can't be where I'm at. You can't tell me this is not real. That's what happens to drug addicts. They, I got to have this drug. Do you understand that? Does everybody get that? I got to have this drug. They struggle with it because it was in vain.
So people who would have been in the room during this conversation, knowing that he could have been a prophet, so me as a person being in the room, I take that with a grain of salt,
yeah.
that it could happen or could not happen. I have to be prepared for either which way
right.
that it falls, because then I know that that was God's will. If he died, if he didn't die, but I still listen.
Right.
Because he could have been a prophet.
Right.
And not just take his word.
But not only, it could have, you take it, because there's one that says, do not quench or do not deny a prophet. Do not stop a prophet.
So I don't take his word as the gospel and lean on that, because
right.
he may not be a prophet.
Exactly. How prophecy is going to work is going to be in line with God. It's not going to be outside of God or standing on its own. Prophecy nowadays is hard because we have so many deceivers. So I never just place it on somebody who just says, I'm a prophet. Here's my answer. You know what I mean? You'll listen. But a lot of people found comfort in his answer. To where I don't care what the Bible says about God, says thank you. And as time went on, they just kept saying, I'm going to stand on that, I'm leaning on that, leaning on that. And then when it didn't happen, they were devastated. But there was that initial comfort. And I ain't going to say, even as a minister, I felt, wow, God, am I supposed to do this? What am I supposed to do? What, you know, I mean, I felt like I couldn't comfort him because I couldn't. But our comfort is supposed to be in the Word. Does that make sense? To where I just gave him what the Word said. But it was a devastating spot because this person gave an answer, which necessarily wasn't from God.
So also, somebody being in the room when this person is saying that, is it wrong or is it right for me to say that I'm going to stand in agreement in what you're saying?
It's wrong if you don't. Think about this. Standing in agreement is only when you know it's agreeable. Just because I agree. See, unfortunately. When he says the verse, when two or three come together, he adds something in there. What does he say? When two or three come together, in my name. Just because three agree doesn't make it happen. The in my name is powerful. Okay, so if three of us come in here and say, we're all going to be millionaires tomorrow. Is that going rich? Now we got five right here, so we should be rich tomorrow, right? Why doesn't that happen? And you get people that do that all the time. You get three or four that will pray together, but it's not work. A lot of times it doesn't work because we're not doing it in his name. We did a Bible study on in his name, and it's much more than me just saying in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? Even when we end a prayer, saying Jesus' name and really doing it in Jesus' name, two totally different things. We say in Jesus' name as a reminder of his authority, of him being in charge, of his sovereignty. However, in his name is I'm doing it in reference to him, based on him. In his name is his word. So it'll be fully based on what his word says. Does that make sense? Okay. So we come together based on what his word says, not just saying in his name. That's like you saying, we all came and Keith said he's going to give us $1 million. I never said that. Do you understand that? But people who know me will go, no, Keith wouldn't say that because he's a cheapskate. No, you understand. But you understand that. But you see where I'm going with this. Okay. So we take a verse and we twist it and we mold it. So if you say you're in agreement, you now just shared in his sin. Does that make sense? Dangerous place to be. Don't just be in agreement if it's not agreeable. That means if you're agreeing with wrong, it's like you're agreeing with Satan. Because if God didn't say it, don't be in agreement with it. Agreement will be, I know the word says this, so we're going to stand in agreement based on what the word says. Now, we're going to say a prayer based on what God's word says. And not just his word, his sound doctrine. Does everybody get this? So I won't say God is going to blah, 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 because that's not what the word says. God is capable. God can. My God can. You know what I mean? That's what his word says. And I got to use all the scripture coming together. I don't just take one scripture because it happens to be positive and ignore the other scripture. Right? Right? You know what I mean? Because we'll sometimes pray for a person who's going through trials and everything like that. We ignore the one that says count of pure joy. Why aren't we praying in agreement in his name going, we're just going to let this person know how blessed he is for going through this storm he's going through. God said count of pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds. That's a blessing. We're so busy going, oh, you're going to have a breakthrough. We're going to come together for a breakthrough. Why are you trying to break him through his blessing? His blessing is that trial. Do y'all get that? That's a beautiful thing. But we miss it because we're going outside of the word and going into human emotion and going, no, he's hurting so much. Breakthrough. A lot of people broke through during school called cutting. And then they wish they didn't. They did this school. I can't stand school. I need a breakthrough. So they did. Now they're like, I wish I would stay in school. Same thing happens. When you go through that trial, if I go to the word, if I'm doing it in his name, I'm like, okay, thank you. You know how many times I had to go minister to comfort somebody. And that's one of the words that came. That Hebrews 12 came to me about endure hardship as discipline. And now I'm going to them. Instead of me going, don't worry, God's going to bring you through. I'm going, this is a blessing with you. And they're kind of. But that's a comfort. Even though they may not feel comfort, I'm giving them comfort. Does that make sense? Why? Because that's what the word is. if I don't find comfort in it, it's because I'm looking for the wrong type of comfort. I'm not looking for comfort. Make sense? Everybody got that? Yes.
Now, as far as just somebody being a false prophet or somebody just speaking wrong, what I'm thinking about is a lot of times at funerals, people say they're in a better place, this and that. We're not, and the person may say they'll be okay or something of that nature. They're not necessarily in the realm of trying to be a prophet or false prophet. I think that's just what they say to comfort people. Or right. Are they putting themselves in a prophet situation when they're saying he'll be okay or he's in a better place now or he's with God?
It is actually dangerous to do that. It is actually. And I know we do it at funerals. And I like I say, if you notice any of the ones I've officiated, I'm very careful not to, for simple reason, is that final thing is going to be up to God. I may even be convinced in my heart that person was a Christian, so on and so forth. So, you know what I mean? But that's still not my decision to make. However, we get to so comfortable saying it, we'll say it about people completely on the other end. Now, you got people in that room that you're ministering to. You just told them this person's going to heaven. They're going. Well, he's going to heaven. Y'all see what I just did? You understand? Now, I just caused a whole big stumbling block in the name of comfort.
Yeah, and when Mr. Charlie passed away, you know, a lot of people were saying that to Maddie.
Right.
And I didn't jump in and say, oh, we don't. When I talked to Maddie, I said, well, we don't know. You know, we're praying for it.
Right.
We're praying, you know, that Grandpa knows.
Amen.
Jesus, and, you know, so amen. I broke it down to him that whole way leading up to it,
right.
You know, because he took it hard.
Right.
But a lot of people there were saying, oh, you know, yep. He's in the past. We don't
right.
Know that.
We don't know that. And it's good you talk to your son and let him know that. And that's why we'll say we place him in God's hands. God. But then we want to also emphasize, but this is why we got to know for ourselves. We better know. You know what I mean? Be real. That's why you'll hear. Look what he says, and go to 2 Peter just to show you, like, because a lot of times we just think being convinced is what we all should be. But why does he say, I mean, this is just one of many times where he'll use a statement like this. If I go to 2 Peter,
I did have a private question there from Karen.
Okay. So, look what he says at 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Now watch what he says here. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to do what? Make your calling and election what? Sure. Wait. But aren't we supposed to be convinced? No, he's saying, make sure. Be eager. Live your life to make sure, man, I'm living what I'm supposed to. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That whole section from 3 all the way to verse 11 kind of sets that up. You know what I mean? It tells you how to make your calling and election sure. But a lot of times we read through that and we kind of move on. Why do I have to make it sure if I'm convinced? And a lot of times we water down the word so much that people are just going, as long as I say these words, I'm going to heaven. But he said, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord. How come? Like I said, that was one of the things that always made me go, so who's he talking about? You know, when he says, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, he answers that question, who that group is. He said, only those who do the will of my Father. He made very clear about that. But we like to just feel, I accepted Christ, so I'm going to heaven, right? Instead of, I want to make sure my calling and election is sure. I want to make sure I'm walking on that path. Do y'all get what I'm saying? I'm making sure. So I'm walking in a way, that's why he's saying, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Do you understand that? Which we non-existent because we go off of emotion and feeling. And I'm sure, and we go off of convincing instead of that humility of, let me check. Yeah, let me check with God on that.
What about people that are not spiritually at the place where you can say, count this trial as a blessing? What would you say to encourage them?
So, once again, the being shrewd part, that's a good question. That being shrewd part is where I don't, like, to a Christian, I should be able to show them that scripture. To a non, and be honest with you, to a non-scripture, now, first of all, okay, I mean, there's like three groups. To a non-Christian, they're non-Christian, so that's not for them anyway. our thing is to guide them to Christ, because their trials are much different. They're outside of Christ. Trials are not benefiting them. What they're going through is of the world. They're in danger, period. Do you understand that? So what they're going through, we try to magnify Christ without shoving it down their throats. Then you have those who are Christians, but they're babes. They remember what we did about the seed. Now, we're in the sermon, we're doing the seeds. And the second one is the ones that it says they have no root. So we have to work on them getting root. And that's the group I think she's talking about. That's when we'll say, can I show you some scripture to help you out? Do you understand? Or read these and then talk to me. You ease it to them. Do you understand? And then talk to them about it. You don't just shove it down their throat. And when they read it, it's kind of, I had a young one that was like that because, you know, she was crying. She was really upset about all this stuff. And I said, can you read this with me? Now she's reading it. I said, read it again. And you can see her kind of looking at it. And I'm like, so I know it doesn't feel like what you thought the blessing was, but that's saying it's a blessing. And she's kind of like, wow. Do you understand it? I had her undivided attention, so I better use God in that undivided attention. That's how you do it. I don't expect me just to say it to them. I'm going to show them the word to make sure they know it's not coming from me. Do you understand that? That's why we got to know the word so we can present the word in the right way and not give a human comfort in that, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? But those are going to, and that's going to be the most common ones, the ones who are more babes in Christ. That you got to really, let me show you what the word says. We know, and a lot of times people say, can you give me some scripture on what I'm going through? Give them the right scripture. Be careful not to just give them feel-good scripture. That's why a lot of people love Proverbs and Psalms. Because I want a poem that makes me feel good. No, I need the word. Now, I know Psalms and Proverbs are the word, but we only look for the ones that make us feel good instead of giving the whole package. Do you understand that? The whole pack. I mean, there was one years ago that somebody gave me, and it didn't hit me till later, but it eventually hit me, where they were talking about comfort. It's like I'm telling you, because what I was looking for, they gave me what the word said comfort was. And at first I was mad. I was like, I said I want comfort, and they gave me this. And so I realized, so you were looking for the wrong thing. Do you understand that? I remember a minister even said it one time. He said, because I think a brick is food, does that make it food? Well, obviously not. Go ahead and try to eat a brick. It'll kill you. You know what I mean? It'll destroy the inside of your body. You can't digest. No. But if I'm convinced it's a food, just because I'm looking for it and say, that's what I want to eat. Should you give me a brick? You understand what I'm saying? No, I'm going to give you food. So when you first look at it, you're going to be like, that's not what I'm looking for. I might get mad and everything until I eat it. And it really nourishes me. But into my ignorance is why I wanted the brick. And that's what tends to happen. We want comfort, but we don't know what comfort is. We want love. We have no idea what love is. So we try to first teach love and comfort and the right words, and then hopefully in that then they'll learn, oh, so what I've been looking for was wrong. That's why Jesus said, I come to bring them life and life more abundantly. You know, the prosperity is only going with the abundant life, but he said, I come to bring them life. He's letting you know, you do know y'all, none of y'all had life. Nobody had life before I came. You know what I mean? Everybody was dying or dead before Jesus came. That's what he's saying. Make sense? Other questions? I know we're about to close, but I just want to make sure I don't leave nobody hanging. We good? Okay. All right. So, but just closing, I want to make sure we end that verse. Going back to your paper, just real quick, because of showing how he misleads many. Because it says, he gives comfort in vain. Now, watch what he says. Therefore, the people wander like sheep oppressed for lack of a shepherd. Now, he's talking about somebody who has a shepherd. Not a shepherd. Keep that in mind. So y'all got to hold me as your shepherd accountable. Okay? Or people wander like sheep oppressed. The oppression, the attacks, all that become the shepherd's responsibility. Do you understand that? Unless you bring it upon yourself. And the reason why you walk around, because you lack a shepherd. Life is beating you up because you lack a shepherd. You know what I mean? In many cases, you know? You're not getting what the food that the shepherd is required to give. Remember, we're all just under shepherds. So my job is only to follow the shepherd. Shepherd says, this is how I want you to feed my sheep. Got it. This is how I want you to protect my sheep. Got it. When it's time for them to go to sleep, may go to sleep this time. Bring them out this time. Walk them this time. Do exactly what I tell you. That's like Jesus said, I do exactly what my Father tells me. Now, when we become shepherds that go, I know because they're my flock and I'm going to, I'm already in trouble. And you're already in trouble. Because this is not my church, and you're not my flock. Y'all do understand that, right? I am in care of God's flock. This is God's church. I'm one of the under-shepherds. I'm nothing more than a servant. Y'all get that? Okay? So the minute I go astray or something like that, yeah, I gotta find a shepherd. But just like I said, it's a choice. You gotta make sure you're making that decision. Make sense? Questions? All right. Let's pray.